We are in 1 Corinthians. We're in chapter 12. We'll be starting at verse 21. We are one body of believers is the title that we're going through today as we continue along in Corinthians here. And we're going to be looking at the body of believers, which is the church. That's us. And Paul gives us a very good description of the church. This points us to the unity of the church in each and every church. And Paul uses the human body to show us the unity of the church in Christ. Excuse me. And I was thinking, as I was writing this out, how many parts are in a human body? And I had no clue, so I had to look it up. And I was thinking, and as I wrote this down, there's over 80 different organs in the human body, over 200 bones, over 600 skeletal muscles, 11 major organs, and if we counted every named structure, cells, nerve branches, etc., it goes into the thousands that are in one body. And each one of those parts is very important to the body. Understandable, right? Something I want to remind us in this right here, is the second greatest commandment that Jesus gives us. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So keep that in your mind as we go through today's message. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I wanted to put up Ephesians 5 for me, please. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. So Paul's going to show us the human body, the correlation of that. We are members of Christ, his body, and we're to take care of our body. So, in all those parts in the body that I just listed, the thousands or whatever, which ones would you say that you don't need or want? None of them, right? You pretty much got to have that. And that would, or which one would you run to treat harshly on your own body? Probably none. At least I assume that. Or would you take care of those parts the best that you could possibly do? Yeah, it's our own body. I mean, if something happens, we run to the doctor, find out, or some of you, I lack in that area. I don't always run to the doctor, which I should. But anyway, we're going to read a section here where Paul ties in the body of the church with the human body so that we get more understanding. So in verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we're all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, or free, and all were made to drink one of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. Excuse me. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot see or say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greatest honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. Which are more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts. And I will show you still a more excellent way. A lot of words there. It's all about comparing the body, the human body, so that we understand the body of Christ. Now, Paul describes the church as a body with many parts. So you might as well look around and say, hey, this is all the parts of this body. The human body, when you think about it, moves and functions as one for the benefit of one. Right? What we do with our bodies, we're moving as one for the benefit of our body. All these different parts, though, make up the body. So there's many different parts. With all the different parts, it's still one body in Christ. We're talking about the body and the body of Christ, the church here. Each believer, each one of you, has a role in the body. Did you know that? I hope you did. In Christ is one being, one life, yet has many members in the body. Now, he opens that up with that, and he wants to grab our attention to the fact that we can relate to our own body as the church. The church is a body, and each person there is functioning. Because he does say in 13, for in one spirit, we are all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, and all were made to drink that one spirit. Here it states, again, one spirit. You know, as we looked over the last couple of weeks when we were looking at different spiritual gifts, it's still one spirit, period. When we believe in Christ, and this is where you have to think about this, when we believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into us. What a blessing that is, I'll tell you. We are now in Christ when we believe. It's a blessing. We have, and we have to understand that we have been baptized into one body, the body of Christ, as a believer. The Holy Spirit immerses us into the death of Christ and counts us as in Christ. When we believe, as the Holy Spirit comes in, God sees us as having died in the body of Christ. This is why the abolishment of the law, as far as Christ fulfilled all law, our faith in Christ, we got it covered. We have it covered. But also the Holy Spirit immerses us into the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God sees us as having been raised from the dead in the body of Christ. What a blessing, folks. What an absolute blessing that is. He believes, as believers, with the Holy Spirit in us, we can carry out the very purpose as His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. With the Holy Spirit in it, think about that as we're able to carry out His purpose. And what was His purpose? To reach the lost. That's what our purpose is as believers, to reach the lost in Christ. And he goes on, whether it's Jews, Greeks, type two words there together, slaves or free. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you are. As believers, the Holy Spirit's in us. We have one spirit. And God sees us in Christ, in the body of Christ, and accepts us and approves us by us being in the body of Christ. He accepts us and he approves of us. What a blessing. You know, the more I read the scriptures and the more I continue to study them, it's amazing how much God loves us. Absolutely amazing, folks. It just amazes me daily. Every believer in the world, no matter where they are or who they are a member of the body of Christ. So we're all in, all believers worldwide, we're in that body of Christ, but he ties it down into also we're into the body of Christ in each church also. Being in that body of Christ, look at Romans 5:1 for me, please. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, notice it doesn't say by works or what we do or how many times we come to church or how many Bibles we got laying around the house to look good. We're justified by faith. That's it. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace there means acceptance. We have acceptance with God through Jesus Christ. Only through Jesus Christ do we have that peace. Only through Jesus Christ do we have that acceptance. And it's only through him. It does say that we're all to drink of one spirit. This means the Holy Spirit comes into our bodies and he dwells into our hearts. He does the changing in us, folks. I remember a guy asked me once, he says, Greg, if I accept Christ, do I keep still living how I want to live? Well, when you accept Christ, you're handing your life over to him. And God will do the changing. You know, there's a lot of things in our life that we can't change on our own, but God can. And he does that. He changes us. It is the Holy Spirit who does the work in you, who does the work in us. It's the Holy Spirit's change in us. Things start to bother us that we used to do younger or whatever. All of a sudden we're like, no, I don't want to do that anymore. Did you ever have that occur to you? Where all of a sudden you're like, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that anymore. I have no desire to do that. Well, that's the Holy Spirit working in us. And that's what God is. He's working in us. Look at John 14. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Love God, love your neighbor. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Helper is the Holy Spirit. So as a believer, the Holy Spirit comes into us to help us, teach us how. Then if we go from there, what Christ said, look in Romans 8:9 for me, please. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. You're in the Spirit. In fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So the only way you can have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit in you, is to be a believer. I remember I talked to a guy once and he said, well, I'm not sure. I says, what do you got to lose? Ask Christ to come in, see what happens. Because then the Holy Spirit comes in and he starts to do the changing, the work in us. And I think this is important that we do look at that, how the Holy Spirit does this. Now, as we continue on, verses 14 through 20, Paul goes into the body, and we see that. And everyone can understand the body does not consist of one member. I mean, we can see that. On one hand, you have four fingers and a thumb. You know, plus a palm and knuckles and all that other kind of stuff. But the body has many, many. Here is a problem that happened in the church here at Corinth. Some were feeling less gifted, so they're not as important to the body. And that's what was happening. That's not true here. There is no unimportant part in a body. We went over that. Which part would you like to get rid of? None. I want every one of the parts of my body. I don't want to lose them. There's no important part. the same as with the church. There's no important member in the church. Every member is important. Every member is there for a reason, and God arranges that. God does that. And yes, people can survive without parts of their body. You know, they can not have an arm or a leg or, you know, different hearing, sight, and all that kind of stuff. And they can still be saved and everything. But what happens is to function and all that makes it harder. It makes it harder on the body. Well, guess what happens when a part of the body of the church is not there? The church can still function. It just makes it harder. One of the things I try to do here is that I want, if something happens to me, somebody else can come in right away and teach. If something, we want multiple people that do things around here, that there's backups that can step in. Because, hey, people get sick, go on vacations, things happen. This is what happens. Well, every believer, and we need to understand, is a member of this body. And the body is not one member. It is not. But it's many, many members. And each believer here is an important part of the body of Christ. Very important part. Everybody fills that void. This is why the church, there is a diversity of believers. Different types of believers, different nationalities, different things in the churches. Each one has been gifted to enable the body to function. Each one comes along. There are things that each one of us are strong at and each one of us are weak at. Well, that's okay. So, each one of us need to ask ourselves, what is my role in the body? What is my role here at PCC? That's up to individually yours. Whichever one happens to, whatever God lays on your heart. This is something that, ask God. By all means. Not sure? Ask him. Or do you think sometimes you may say, oh, I'll let somebody else handle that? Well, that can be too, but Paul gives us examples here that each member is necessary. Each member here is necessary. Each member at every church throughout is necessary. And he uses the foot and the hand. And if you think about that, when he's talking about that, he says, well, the foot can't do what the hand does. We understand that, right? Somebody may be gifted as a hand, somebody may be gifted like a foot, and I'm using that. One can't do the other. It's pretty tough to do that. But still just as important to the body. Each one is just as important. And remember, at this church, at the Corinthian church, there were so many gifts there, it was an amazing amount. And some people started to have pride because this was happening, and others were feeling left out because they only had certain gifts. Each one of us have the Holy Spirit in us as a believer. We need to understand that each member has his important function in the church. It's very important. And no one can do that function or another. It's kind of happens that way. All churches need to be a functioning body that we're functioning, no matter what the size of that church is. Now, there are times where I'll think, man, I got it pretty easy here. Pretty much until, well, Dave came with us 7, 8, 10 years ago or something. Man, I was doing everything. Dave came along, he took a burden, huge burden. Well, I went to my daughter's church and it's gigantic. It's bigger than from here to Stater Brothers. It's huge. And I was walking through looking, I was going, I told Cindy, I says, all these air conditioners, man, I'd be full-time keeping them running because that's what I used to do. She goes, Greg, you wouldn't be doing that. No, there are guys that are there that do that. There are guys there that do security. There are guys, there are people that do all the function, which in a big church, you got to have a whole lot of things going on. A whole lot. And I go, well, it's pretty simplified here for me. God wills different members so the body can function properly. Each one of us have functions. And I think that's critical what Paul is talking about here is, hey, each member is needed desperately, and each member has gifts, and we function as one body. And God does that arranging. God brings the people in that he needs. Look at verse 19. It says that where would the body be if a single member did everything? Okay, we look at our own body. It doesn't happen. And then Paul reiterates that in verse 20 when he says, hey, there are many parts. There are many, many parts. Now, as we go into verses 21 to 23, he uses that example. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body seem to be weaker and indispensable. And those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. There is mutual dependence upon each other. And all the various members, it's the same thing. Not everybody's going to be gifted to do certain things and handle certain things. It just doesn't happen. Well, it's the same thing in the body of Christ. We all need to check ourselves that we don't feel we're more gifted than others. And recall last week's message where we're all empowered by one Spirit. One Spirit. And it's the same Spirit. And all glory goes to God. No matter what. All glory goes to God. And some people, they may feel that they're not as important as others. That is so not true. Not true at all. It is a joy. There are people that in every church are working behind the scenes that are so vital. So vital. It's vital to the body. And there are a lot of times they're never even seen. All the things that go on, taking care and fixing things. And we're blessed. We're very blessed. It doesn't mean, though, that they're less important because they're behind the scenes taking care of things. Very important. I feel one area in the body of Christ that most of the time can go unnoticed. And that's the prayer warriors. That is the number one ministry in this church. Prayer. Prayer. All of us pray. Pray. You have the privilege, the absolute honor of going before God, before his mercy seat, and laying down a request. That's a great honor that God gives every believer. Well, don't neglect that honor. Go before him. Pray for this body. Pray for individuals. Today, I've done this years ago. When you get up to leave, take a look around and think, that person, whoever that is, I'm going to spend an extra 5 or 10 minutes this week just praying for that person. You don't have to tell them. You don't have to tell anybody. Just take the time to pick somebody out and say, I may not know what's going on, but I'm going to pray for them. Prayer is the most important thing. Our streaming was down. And what was it? I don't know. 15 minutes before church, Net runs in. Hey, we need to pray. We started praying. I come walking out, all good, all good, perfect. I love it. Power of prayer, folks. all of us need to be on that team. And that's somebody, that's something that nobody knows happens. That's behind the scenes. Try to doing that, praying for people in the church or people that you know. Take that 5 or 10 minutes extra just to do that. I want to remind us all, we should never, though, ever look down upon others if they're not gifted in things that we think are important. Look in Luke 22, please. This is what Jesus said. He said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you." He's talking to us. "Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as the one who serves. For who is the greater, one who reclines at the table, or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I'm among you as one who serves." Jesus gave us the example to serve others, to benefit others. That's what we're called to do. Jesus gave us the example. He's the king. And what did he come and do? Serve. He came and served. And I think about, you know, he gave us the greatest example throughout, as you read the scriptures, for 33 odd some years. He came here and he served. He gave us an example. And what was amazing is you read through the scripture, you're going to see that a lot of times the disciples at night, he would go off alone and pray all through the night while the disciples would sleep. And he'd come back in the morning, he'd prayed all night, "All right, guys, we're going here, we're going to do this, boop, boop, boop," and off they'd go. He served. He prayed. He did that. Verses 24 through 26. "Which our more presentable parts do not require, but God has so composed the body here," I added here, "giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together." That happens here. It's a blessing. It truly is. God assembles the church. And when it says he's so composed, he's assembled you in here. God manipulated and moved you and got you into here just as he did me years ago. Many, many years ago, when he had pulled me out of the church I was in and said, "I'm moving you," I said, "All right." And I was driving down this road. There it is. Oh, okay. God assembles the church. He mixes the body with the correct people. And he's blended us together. Are we all the same? No. Do we all have the same gifts? No. Do we all function doing the same thing? No. If that would happen, all of you would be standing up here preaching to nobody. Each one does different things. God arranges it so there'll be no division in the body. And each member has been gifted so as to complement others. So your gifting is to complement others. Encourage others. Look at 2 Corinthians 13:11 for me. "Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another." This is Paul talking to the church in Corinthians, or in Corinth. "Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you." There's another promise for you. We want to live and comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace with them. And what's it say? God's going to be right there with you. What a blessing. And then, as we look at that, he starts to close this out. And he says, "Now you're in the body of Christ and individually members of it." So you are members of the body of Christ. "And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles?" You know, the answer there is no, of course, all these questions. "Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret?" Here, we're in that body of Christ as we are an individual member. So each one of us is an individual in that body of Christ. And we each have our own place in the body of Christ. And that's in this church and in worldwide church also. This is an amazing, blessed statement. When you think about this, that you are a valued part in the body of Christ. You know, sometimes people can overlook that and just read right through, oh, you're part of the body of God. No. God's saying you're a valued member, a valued part of the church of Christ, the body of Him. That God would count each of us individually valued. Very much so. This confirms that God has gifted us and set each member into the churches throughout the land. He does go into this apostles and the different things. Now, apostles, various usage, I'll say, in New Testament, but pretty much one is he apostle was one that was chosen by Christ and seen Christ, seen the resurrection of Christ. Okay? Which is pretty much grounded scripturally. Wider usage, people have said, well, men sent out to preach. We'll kind of go into that deeper at a later time, but apostles, basically, they had to be chosen by Christ, they had to see Christ, and they had to see the resurrection. Then he goes into prophets. This is a gift of prophecy. A gift of prophecy. Now, I can tell you, in chapters 14, we're really going to go through a lot of these gifts. So I'm kind of holding back a little bit there. Gifts of prophecy, you may hear some people say, oh, well, he's a prophet. Okay. There are false prophets and there are true prophets. If what they prophesy comes to fact, that's true. If it doesn't, it's false. So we kind of get that. Teachers, this is a gift of teaching and instructing believers in the truth of God. So that's the ones who are going to teach the Bible. That's home Bible studies. That's ladies' Bible studies. All the different studies, that's teaching there. And you do have all these other miracles, healing, helping, administrating tongues, all that. And I'm going to get really in-depth into that more in chapter 14 because this is kind of highlighted that there. But I want us to understand is where is the point at in what Paul is talking about here when he says, and this is where people need to understand, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? The answer to every one of these is no. If all people had all them gifts, well, that's why in a church you may have people that are teachers. You may have some prophecy. You may have tongues. You may have healing. There's administration. A church being run is just like a business. There's a lot of administrative work that goes on in that. Okay, so we understand the body of Christ, there's many members and many things that go on here. But look at Matthew 25:15. I want to go there. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To each according to his ability, then he went away. So each one of us have been given gifts or talents. Some may give more, some may not as much, but it's what we do with those gifts. It's what we do. We have to be faithful unto God to do what he has called us to do. He didn't call all people to be Billy Grahams. No. He didn't call all people to go missionaries in Africa or somewhere. No. But we're to be faithful and do what we're called to do. And that can change over the course of time. Early on, as we're younger, we're got a family. You're like women, men, called to raise our families, teach them the Word of God, raise them up, go on, and then things can change differently as we go through, and God will move us into different callings. Believers are given a gift with a talent, and we're using it to glorify God. Whatever that gift, whatever that talent, it has to be used to glorify God And that's the only reason we're given it. That's why we're given a gift or a talent, whatever it is to glorify God. It does say here, do all, you know, as it goes through all the, do all have this or that, but it says, but earnestly, in verse 31, earnestly desire the higher gifts. Earnestly desire. Scripture here is telling us to do something, isn't it? Earnestly desire the higher gifts. Are we doing that? I hope. If you never read that before, desire the gifts. Ask God. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? If we desire and seek God for the higher gifts, there's only one reason that we're going to be doing this. To bring more honor to God. That's it. That's the reason the church exists. Reach the lost and bring glory to God. Honor Him. It is not to bring honor to ourselves at all. No way. First of all, we don't want it, but second of all, we couldn't even handle that kind of glory, that kind of honor that goes to God. We'd mess it up in a heartbeat. It enables, these gifts enables us to reach the lost at certain times. Now, it does say the most excellent way here, and I will show you still a more excellent way. That's chapter 13. One chapter, that's it. We're going to see in 14 the gifts, but chapter 13 is it. You want to read ahead. Now, I will say, as I got to look at this, I go, wow, you know, I went from verse 12 down to verse 31. Man, I don't even think I've preached that many verses in a month. Well, I'm going to shock you next month. I'm going to shock you. Anyway, chapter 13 is vital for all of us. It is vital for all of us, because without chapter 13's explanation things, folks, none of this other gifts and everything matters. It's chapter 13. So let's all close in prayer. Father God, I want to praise you. I want to thank you, Lord, for allowing us to study your word. And Lord God, I just lift up every member in this church, every person in this body, Lord, that they would seek you. And Lord, let them fulfill the gift that you have gifted them with, Lord, whatever it is. And Lord, I ask that each and every person here realize they are a valued member of your body. Your body, Christ. We're part of you because the Holy Spirit has came into us. What a great honor that is. With that honor alone, Lord, it is overjoying. I praise you, God. And I ask right now you'd bless each and every person sitting in here, Lord. Your scripture says that you pour your love into our hearts by way of the Holy Spirit. I ask for that right now. That we would just be those vessels that you are pouring your love into our hearts. And let it so much, Lord, it overflows into every person we see and we talk to, Lord. And I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Worship team, come forward, please.